You a few minutes. Let's go to three openings. I'm going to go to Job 8:7, and I'm going to read that in a new English translation. I see a few English people around here, and then we're going to go Jeremiah 29. We're going to look at that in the new Living. I see a lot of living souls as well around here. Ephesians 2:10. And for those amplified people who like it real loud, we got that for you as well. So there's a treat for everybody tonight. Amplified Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Classical Edition. I usually use different editions to emphasize certain words because, something will mean something, like one word will mean more to somebody than another word, but it's the same thing. So, you could say fast. Fast is the same as quick, but maybe somebody like the quick first before they like fast. Or is there another word for fast? Quick? Speedy? What else? Swift? See, there's all kinds of ways you can say something, and yet one word has different meanings, and yet it means the same thing. So that's what it's like when you read the different versions of it. So it just gives you more meaning, or it just impacts you a little bit differently. So I want to talk to you today or this evening about your best days ahead of you. I believe, your best day is coming. And, I know that if you believe God, if you believe in God, God is always up to something. He's always up to something good. And, if you have had some bad times, I believe the best days are coming. God is always doing something good. He's always got something planned for you that's good. And so if you've gone through a rough season, I believe that it's going to be better real soon. And so let me prophesy that over you. Your best days are coming. Your best days are just around the corner. Praise God. Anticipate that. Believe it. Accept it. Amen. So I prophesy this right now in the name of Jesus. People will receive that in the name of the Lord, and you'll receive it. Your best days are ahead. So Job 8:7, New English says, your beginning will seem so small since your future will flourish. In other words, you're gonna enjoy the days that are coming. You're gonna enjoy it because you're gonna be so flourishing. Everything's gonna look wonderful. It's not gonna be the same. It's gonna be glorious and fantastic. And yet, it didn't seem like that last year. It didn't seem like your childhood is the same. Didn't seem like when you're going through your tough years of your teenagehood, I went through my roughest time in my life, I guess, maybe at that time in my life. When I was 17 years old, it seemed like it was just disastrous. Nothing went right. I hated life, and I couldn't see very far in my future. Because my future, or at least my present situation, seemed very, very dark. Because in view of my past, it seems that there's nothing ahead for me. It was the end. And so if you're feeling that way tonight, I'm going to promise you the best days are ahead. And so let me just go ahead and encourage you some more. Let's go to a supplementary scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, which is going to say the same thing virtually, but it's going to give you a little bit more, information. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 29:11, this is a prophetic word for somebody. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Now, it's talking about the children of Israel. God always had a plan for Israel. And Israel is a type of Christian. Israel is a type of the church that came out of Egypt, which is a type of the kingdom of darkness or evil or the devil's kingdom. And they came out of that. And God had a promised land for them. The promised land in the scriptures of the Old Testament is not heaven. Because the Bible talks about that there was giants in there, in the promised land. There's no giants in heaven trying to fight you. But there's giants here. There's obstacles here. It could be a giant of sickness. Could be a giant of infirmity. Could be a giant of fear. A giant of poverty. Lack. Could be a giant of disability. Whatever it is. You can't seem to shake it. But God says, I have a plan for you. Have a plan for you. Everybody say, you means me. So God has a plan for every one of you tonight. And he says, there are plans for good and not disaster. In other words, God has everything good for you in the future, and there's not one bad thing in store for you as far as God's concerned. Now, maybe for you, if you make wrong decisions, it could be disastrous if you follow your own plan. Because the Bible says the way of man seems right to him, but the end is disaster. But we need to get into God's plan. Stop planning your own way. Stop having your own selfish ways. And let God lead you. It says plan for good and not for disaster. So don't be afraid of what's going to happen next. Don't be afraid for tomorrow. I'm going to tell you a saying about the future when people think bad about the future. Don't feel, you know, like if you're thinking about destruction about your future, how it's going to be, you're going to run out of money. People are going to leave you. You're going to be living alone. You're going to be like a hermit, you know, eating hermit cookies. I like hermit cookies. And, you know, you don't like, you know, you're just all alone. There's nobody there. So the Bible says, it says, to give you a future and a hope. God has a future for you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Shake your head a little bit. It looked like this, you know. Statues out there. Come on now, help me out. Smile a little bit and just, you know, pretend you're listening. If you're not listening, you know, just go, yeah. I won't even know. It makes me feel good at least. Amen. So at Jeremiah 29:11 tells you there's a future for you. There's a good hope for you. There's good things happening for you. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just warming up. Amen. Unclog some of the blockages in your arteries. Praise God. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to read that in Amplified Bible, the classical version. And let's get that up there. There it is. For we are God's own handiwork. In other words, God's handcrafting you. He's working on you right now. We should all have a sign under construction. Amen? God's still working on you. He's doing something wonderful in your life. But you have to let him chisel your nose a little bit, sharpen your ears up, and, you know, unpoke your hair or whatever it is. He says, his workmanship, notice this, recreated in Christ. In other words, that's what he did. He recreated you. He did his handiwork. His workmanship was in Christ. And that born in you that we may do those good works. In other words, you're born again to do something good. You're born again. Say, I'm born again to do something good. Say something good is about to happen. Come on now, say it again. Say, something good is about to happen. I'm telling you, this is God's word. You know, there's a man, I was watching him in the 70s. A man by the name of Oral Roberts. He was part Cherokee. That's why I watched him. He said he's part Cherokee. And so he used to say, something good's about to happen. He always said, God is good. God is good. And a lot of the people told him, other ministers said, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that. They were coming against him, told me, nobody shouldn't say, you shouldn't say that. But he said, God is good. And if you believe God is good, you have to believe, therefore, that there's good days ahead because he's good. And this scripture verifies it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the classical version here amplified, says that good works which God predestined, or in parenthesis, it says he planned ahead before us, for us. He planned something good for you to do. So don't quit yet. You have good things. I mean, you might have failed miserably. You might have had lots of bad things happen in your life, and maybe you just messed up so many times, and, you know, that's what I felt like. So many times I messed up, and just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, what, you know, God can use me. Can he ever use me? Can he take me back? Well, that sounds like the devil's words. God will always take you back. He always will love you. He's never going to not love you. Is that a good way of saying it? That's all right, eh? Some people can, you know, they understand that better than gooder and whatever. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. So that we should walk in them, living the good life which he planned, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, you got to understand that God already has made the plan. He has already preordained good things in your life. Here's the story about it. You know, God has a perfect plan for you, but sometimes your flesh gets in the way or your own plans get in the way, and you start dreaming up your own plan and you ask God to bless it, but God's not in that plan. We have to follow his plan, not your plan. And so sometimes we just go ahead and, you know, follow our own thing, do our own thing. We said, you know, hey, listen, it's a democratic society. I can do whatever I want to do. God, don't you know that we live in a democratic society? We should, you know, just leave me alone. I want to pick my own things. I want to pick my own wife and husband. Well, I guess you have a choice at that, I guess. Praise God. Let's move on. No more husbands. Here's the point of the whole thing. As I mentioned, if you believe God, if you believe in God, and if you believe God is a good God, you have to believe the best days are yet ahead of you. Let me just say that again. If you believe in God and you believe that God is a good God, you have to believe the best is yet to come. The scriptures tells us that we haven't lived our best days yet. Everything starts small. Or everything starts, you know, things start with not so much of a big bang. You start, you know, hey, you know, you're born one day, so big deal, who cares? But God does. He's made a big deal about it. He fashioned you. Even small things can become large. In the case of a mustard seed, Jesus spoke about to his disciples, you know, he said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Everything starts small. Every one of us were once small, a small seed. We were a small seed and we were a small fetus in our mother's womb, but now look at you. You've done a good job with creating a good thing. Amen? Enjoying yourself and eating ice cream and so on. Everybody say a tiny seed. You know, I was watching a hockey game here over the last time. There's a man there, the Boston Bruins. How many Boston Bruins fans we have tonight? There's one. There's two of them. Anybody else here? A Montreal fan or anything like that? There's one here. There's hope for everybody. Amen? Praise God. So it says here, you know, Chara, this man, he's plays for the Boston Bruins. He's a defenseman. And this guy is so large, he makes big players in the NHL look like they're small people. He stands at 6'9". That's without his skates on, I believe. Without his skates on. He comes from the tribe of, what is that tribe? The Anak tribe. Well, I know where he's from, but I want to know what tribe he's from. Okay, but he's over 260 pounds. How would you like a man that big hit you going 35 miles an hour? So, he's a big man. But he wasn't always that size. He was a tiny seed. And yet, he's such a big man. I know some of you guys are excited about it. I can tell. Just real excited about it. Yeah, come on, let's get away. Let's, you know, you quit your hockey analogies, you know. But Jesus said, go to Luke chapter 13 here, and verse 18. Now, Jesus talked about this guy, this mustard seed man. He said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed. Everybody say tiny mustard seed. The kingdom of God. In other words, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Everybody say, this is how God operates in his kingdom. Now, he always starts you with something small. You know, he doesn't always give you something huge to go and do, because, you know, he'll test you and see if you're able to go and be obedient and do something. And, you know, he'll start you there. And it says the kingdom of God He said, how will I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree. And the birds in the nest make nests in the branches. So, you know, this big mustard seed, this little tiny seed grows into a huge seed. And all these birds come there and so on. It goes to a big tree. Everything starts small, but lots of times it has greater endings. You have to see yourself that way, like a mustard seed. Jesus used that for us, gave us that analogy. That so what? Your days, maybe, in our text says, you know, your days become, it was a small beginning in your days, but your end is going to be a huge, huge thing. You're going to end with a bang. Right? I know you like it because you're ready to just whew, go, you know, and blast off and see miraculous, supernatural things happening. You have to believe God that there are better days ahead. You have to do it. You have to put faith in it that there's better days. It gives us hope to move ahead, especially when we suffer tragedies. When we talked about Ephesians 2:10, you know, he says, you know, we are at work. God's at work in us. He's working out something in us. You know, Ephesians says God is at work in us right now. He's working a good thing, and he has planned these good things. He wants to make sure that we're going into the plan he made for us. He prearranged for us. We need to take opportunity when opportunities are presented to us. Sometimes we don't pursue something when something is there. Sometimes a small little idea starts, and we just push it off thinking that's not God. And God's always encouraging you. Listen to me, you know, tonight, because God wants to do something wonderful in your life. Wonderful. Beautiful things. Take your opportunity to believe and see the best is yet ahead. Imagine Paul in a jail cell complaining about all the things that's happened to him. When he was in jail, the Bible says that he was in jail. And he did good things, and yet he went to jail. Just like Joseph, he was a good man, Joseph, and he was thrown in prison. He was accused of molesting and sexually harassing or rape of his boss, you know, and he was thrown in jail. And sometimes we get accused of different things, and it throws us off. Have you ever been accused of anything? Anything bad? Two people in this room. There's lots of godly saints around here. It's all good. Maybe I should preach over here. Praise God. You know? Okay, so this guy, Paul, now he's in jail over in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. He says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers, that everything that has happened to me, and you know that everything that's happened to him was bad things. Everything that happened to him was a horrible situation. Now he's writing a letter. Now you have to use your imagination because you're going to miss the whole point. Now he's sitting in jail writing an encouraging word to somebody. Now how about you in your desperate situation when you're in a hard time? We need to find somebody who we can go and encourage. Because you have a future and you believe God, you're not going to stay in that situation for very long. One of the hardest times I've gone through in the last little while is going through, you know, the stuff that I went through with my daughter. And it was a tough situation. And I had to be positive. I had to be up and have to be, you know, every day come here, preach like, you know, God's mentally bless me and have to act like everything's good and act like the word of God is true. And the word of God is true. Even if bad happens in life, he's still good. And he's been good to me. And God answers prayer. And he'll change your situation. I want to encourage you today that God can change your situation. Amen. He said, again, let's read it again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He said, I want you to know, you know what? This is not Paul just writing something to somebody. This is God writing to you. This is God Himself telling you something. This is Scripture. This is God speaking to you. God speaking to me. God speaking to us. This is God's letter to you and me. He said, I want you to know. So God wants you to know. As he's using Paul there, he's in a bad situation. My dear brothers, that everything that has happened to me, or you could say everything that has happened to you, listen to this, everything happened to you, that God wants you to know that everything that's happening to you right now has helped to spread the good news. In other words, there's going to be good things coming out of your bad situation. God wants to use whatever situation is in your life right now, He wants to use that to show people that He is a God that is faithful. Amen? Can you say amen? I want you to lift both hands and say, thank God, He's a faithful God. He's not going to leave me like this. I'm never alone. Amen. I want you to know God is talking to you right now. And as God spoke to me, I'm sitting there in my living room this afternoon, and I'm talking, I'm looking at a bunch of things, books, and all day long praying, and said, Lord, you know, I got all these things, but I don't feel quite, you know, right to go this direction, so on. And God says, I want you to go and encourage the people tonight. Help the people who are discouraged. I want you to know if you're discouraged tonight, God has something for you. Something good is coming. Everybody says something good is coming. I can just sense the faith of God in this room. I can sense the joy of God in this room. Amen? How many can sense the presence of God in your heart and stirring you up? Amen? I mean, I want to let you know, every one of you, God knows your situation. He's not going to leave you like that. You got the strength of God in you. God is for you. I want to read this again. He said, I want you to know, that's God talking to you. I want you to know, my dear brothers, my dear Boo-ji-boo-ji-boo, whatever you call yourself, you know. You little sweetheart, you know. You know, he said that. He said that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Well, if God was with Paul and God was leading Paul and he went through all those hard times, then God's going to lead you through all these situations. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. You know, in your hard times, people are going to know your faith. They're going to know who you believe in. If you actually really believe the Bible, if you really love Jesus, if you really love God, people are going to see that in your life. You're going to see that the way you talk, and they're going to see hope in you. You see, I don't know how that person does it. I don't know how they keep smiling because, you know, you got a real Jesus in you. You got God in you. Amen? He lives inside of you. I'm in chains because of Christ and because of my imprisonment. Most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. You know, you could be a big encouragement to people. Your life can speak much more than if you just, you know, if you just sit there and complain how bad you got it. I was at the hospital today. I went to the hospital and I went there and I could be there all day long ministering. Because I always got something to do, some word. You know, if you're ever bored, I want to tell you, go sit in the lounge at the hospital. You're going to find somebody. You're going to find just about anybody. You got somebody who's concerned about their husband, their wife, grandmother, and people in there. Go sit around the emergency and just say, hey, can I pray for you? Come on now. There's lots to do. That's a great ministry right there. And so, you know, sometimes Christians don't believe the Bible. They read the Bible and they just don't believe. We went somewhere, someone is almost, this foot is all half gone almost. I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, part of the foot is gone. And I said, let's speak to that toe right now. Let's speak to those feet right now in the name of Jesus. Command this foot to be healed in the name of Jesus. You know? You can hear crackling. That was my neck. But you know what? It was happening. Because God's word is true. I said, see yourself well. See yourself walking around and doing something. I thank God for that. I said, as sure as I'm standing here, healing belongs to you. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. And I can tell, you know, we got kicked out of that room for a while. Nurse came in and said, you know, what are you guys doing in here? You don't have any gowns on. I said, oh, no, I usually wear gowns. I'm in my suit. They want us to wear all these clothes like you're a spaceman. So I had to go in that room. He said, this place is, what do you call that? You know, you're sanitized and everything's sanitized, you know. You're under quarantine, yeah, that's what they call it. So he said, okay, we'll go, I'll come back. We went from that room, let's go down to the emergency room. So we found somebody else in the emergency room. Went in there in some part and prayed for somebody. Went in there and prayed, praise God. So we're coming to pray for you. We don't waste gas driving around for nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Paul had an excellent attitude, right? And how's your attitude? You're in a bad situation right now. Maybe the money's low. I mean, maybe your income tax wasn't as large as it was going to be. Eh? Oh, man, my income tax, I was just going to, you know, I was actually going to pay something else. But I'm going to buy windows for my house. I was going to take that and go to Florida. I was going to buy a new TV with that. Now I got to pay bills. Come on now, how many people like that? You know, they say, oh man, you know, every year it happens to me. I go, oh, I had plans for that. You know, $5,000 coming in, $4,000, $3,000. Oh, I tell you what I'm going to do. Honey, I'm going to take you. I'm going to buy you a puppy. My wife and I have puppy love. I'm telling you, we're just really into puppy love. Yeah, I'm really, really good. Anyways, you know a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln, you know, he has these cars called Lincoln. He made those things. No. No, anyway, Abraham Lincoln said this. You guys must know Abraham Lincoln. Hey? Couple of Americans over here. USA, USA. Okay. Abraham Lincoln says, the best way to create a future is to create it. You need to make something. Right now where you're standing, make the best plan ever. We need to leave our past behind and move on. Someone once said, dear past, thanks for all the lessons. Dear future, I'm ready. Ancient Chinese philosopher, name is King Fu Kum Funya. I just made it up. Sound pretty good, you know. this poet said this. If you're going to live in the past, if you're living in the past, you are depressed. That's what he said. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. That sounds like a man that we know that says that all the time, right? If you're at peace, you're living in the present moment. So be at peace and expect God's plan to unfold before you as you believe him today. Amen. The best days are ahead for every one of us. The scriptures promises that even in our old age, even at our old age, who else have here? Yeah? Yeah, you guys, you don't color your hair anymore. That's your real hair color, right? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I want to say something, but I'm not going to say it anyway. You're not old, you just live longer. Long time, yeah. The scripture promised that even in our old age, we can be productive. The psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14, but the godly, that's you and I, will flourish like a palm tree, or like palm trees. You know, palm trees grow in the land that's scorching hot, and the roots grow down, and yet it looks vibrant. And it grows strong and tall. And God gives us that analogy that you're a palm tree. And you're going to be productive more than you imagine, he says in here. You'll flourish like a palm tree and grow like strong like the cedars in Lebanon. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. This is Psalm 92. There's no age limitations in God's plan. At the age of 80, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, a minister known for positive thinking, was asked what were his best years. He replied, I haven't lived them yet. That's his attitude. That's his best attitude. That's his attitude. Luther Vandross, a musician, a singer and songwriter, said, the best part is still ahead of me. I haven't experienced my good old days yet. We need to adopt this mindset. I believe we can be the people of faith, and we can believe for the best is yet to come. So don't despise the small or the insignificant, seemingly insignificant that you're having right now or experiencing. God wants you to appreciate what you have now as you move ahead into a great future. Trust God to fulfill his promises in your life. I was reading in Joshua, I believe 14:21, that all of God's promises were fulfilled for Israel, and God will do the best, and he'll do it for us. Trust God to fulfill the promises. King David got off track when he became ungrateful and followed his own selfish lusts. The prophet Nathan reprimanded him, saying, I've anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And now if that had not been enough, I would have given you much more. See this, 2 Samuel here, 12, over here. You got it? 2 Samuel. Now, God had given David a whole lot. Blessed him, and I know God has given you a whole lot. And maybe sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. You say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, you have your health yet. Your mind works great. You know what you're doing. Your legs and your hands work. You can be grateful and say, thank God my body works fine. I can go to the bathroom without hurting. I can eliminate. I can drink water and not want to throw up. Like, you know, we don't appreciate. I can see things. I can feel things. Thank God. We need to appreciate the little things in life so that we can see the greater picture. God desires to give us much more, like he said in 2 Samuel 12. God says, I could have given you much, much more. He gave David a lot, but he said, you know what? You went off and did something wrong. The prophet came. He said, God wanted to give you even much more than he has. You know, I want to let you know, according to the scripture, 2 Samuel 12, God wants to give you much more than you have right now. You have to believe that. You got to believe the Bible. You know, Brother Hagin, I listened to something yesterday. Somebody reminded me of Brother Hagin said, the blessings of God just don't come automatically to you because you're a Christian. You're living in the kingdom of this world is the devil, and you're living here, and you have to fight the giants. You have to get to where you want to go, and you have to fight for your things, whatever you want. It's not going to just fall on you because you come to church. You're going to have to make your own confession. You're going to have to fight off bad thoughts. You're going to have to fight off with complaining, When you want to complain, you got to fight it off and say, I'm not going to complain. Thank God. There's a future for me. Thank God. Well, somebody wrote today, sometimes you have to accept the fact that certain things in your life, and that you can never go back to the good old days. But life will go on because we have a great future. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's stand up and pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy. Thank you that your plan is an awesome plan, that there's a good plan for us, a future for us. So we thank you for your holy written word. We receive that in our spirit. We accept that according to the word of God, that there's, as Nathan told David, I want to give you much, much more. I don't want to miss it. I want to be in the plan of God. And Lord God, forgive me, or forgive us and every one of us for complaining, for using our imagination in the wrong way to only see the negative things, the bad things, or to count our past as what it's going to be for our future. So we thank you, the past is gone, and there's a great future for us according to these scriptures, that you have much, much more, just like the words that was given to David. And Job says, our better days are ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, for a good future. We give you praise and thank you, Lord God, Father. If there's anybody here in this room that needs to get right with God, they need to say, Father. And if you're here tonight, you say, Father, if you fell out of fellowship, you say, God, forgive me. I want to thank you tonight. You accept failures. I've been a failure. Jesus died for failures. Jesus died for sinners. And so I acknowledge my wrong, my stupidity, my foolishness. And so, Father, I want to thank you right now that you forgive me for that. And then moving forward with a grateful heart, that even as Paul was in the jail cell, shackled with chains, and that he got the whipping he had and the fear that was among them, even during that time, he wrote a letter, said, I want to tell you guys that everything bad has happened to me is for a reason. And God's going to turn this around and make something good out of it. So I'm believing right now the situation's going to turn around and there are better days ahead. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. There's a lady here that needs healing. Could you stretch your hand towards me right now? We're going to pray over this cloth. We believe the anointing of God can be transferred. We believe that the power of God can be transferred into a cloth by prayer of faith. And so, Father, let's lay your hands on it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the anointing of God, to heal the bones, heal the flesh. You died for these reasons. We speak life into that hip. We speak life into that knee. This anointing will affect the healing and the cure. Recover that person so that they can walk right, upright, be without any pain, and move freely around. And say, God is my healer. God is my source of supply. So we bless this person in their physical body and anything else that's wrong to correct it right now. In the name of Jesus, I believe the word of God. I believe in the transfer of the anointing. I believe the power of the scripture. I believe in the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost going into this cloth right now to affect this healing and a cure. In the name of Jesus, amen. And so be it. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Hallelujah.